The following service from First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, was recorded on February the 24th, 2019. For more information about our church, visit us online at fbc-sav.org. We hope you enjoy the service.
morning. Welcome to worship at First Baptist Church Savannah. It is our privilege each and every Sunday to have folks come and visit with us. And if you are a first-time visitor or even a return visitor, we are delighted that you have chosen to be a part of our worship here together at First Baptist this morning. Thank you for being here. If you would, just pause for a moment after service and let some of our folks have a minute to meet you and greet you and share some words together with you. This is a special service this morning as our own Reverend Josh Brewer will be baptizing his daughter, Katie Brewer. And we are delighted that as a church family, we have that special opportunity this morning. We're glad you are here. Please join me now for the call to worship located in your order of service. Listen to the stories of God. Listen to the teachings of Jesus. Listen to the voice of God. Listen and worship, people of God.
For God is here among us.
May we pray together. Your steadfast love and gentle kindness, O Lord, cause us to rejoice always. Being present with you in this time of worship inspires us to be better servants of your grace. Open our eyes to opportunities of service. Open our hands to works of care. And open our hearts to your truth. We are grateful for your presence in this time of worship. Pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray. Amen. Please join me in the affirmation of faith found in your bulletin. We believe in God, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all God's works, and whose will is ever directed to the good of all people. We believe in Jesus Christ, the gift of God's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the divine presence in our lives, through which we constantly know the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should express itself in the service of love, as shown through the example of our Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth.
Good morning. For over 400 years, Baptists have practiced the ordinance of baptism, and for Christians, from the very beginning. It reminds us of our Lord's own baptism by John the Baptist at the Jordan River, but it's also symbolic of our own commitments, of dying to the life we formerly knew and rising to life anew with Christ. This outward symbol of an inward transformation is a good reminder for us of the commitment we have made to Christ. This morning, we have the privilege of sharing this moment of Christian commitment with someone you all know very well, Cademan Lee Brewer. Katie has grown up in this church. She was dedicated in this room. She took some of her early steps holding on to these pews and to the hands of many of you who sit in them. She's run in these halls. She has learned about Jesus by some of you in Sunday school and Wednesday night and at VBS. She has been held by many of you, and she has been cared by all of you, her church family. And now she professes her faith in Jesus Christ and her desire to be baptized. So now, as her church family, would you speak the unison blessing over her, this new follower of Jesus? We thank God for your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. We happily welcome you into the Church of Jesus Christ and into the membership of this congregation. We will do the work of Christ together, cooperatively, compassionately, and courageously. We praise God for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We witness your baptism in the name of God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. So, Katie, before your church family, I ask you to profess your faith. And tell us, who is your Lord?
Jesus is my Lord.
Then upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in Christ, and my daughter, Cademan Lee Brewer, in the name of God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. With this baptism, let us remember Jesus' great commission when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Amen.
Today is Genesis 45, 1 through 11 and 15. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of the Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord over all his house, and ruler over all of Egypt. Make haste and go to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry, and you shall dwell in the land of Joshua, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. And there I will provide for you. And there are yet 5 years of famine to come, lest you and your household and all you have come to poverty.' And he kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him."
Our second lesson today comes from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 38 and 42 through 50. We know this was not the first letter to the Corinthians, for 1 Corinthians mentions a previous letter, but we will be reading these verses together as our lesson today. "But someone will ask, 'How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish man, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body which is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, 'The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit.' But it is not the spiritual which is first, but the physical and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." Here ends our second reading.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, starting with verse 27, ending in verse 38. Jesus speaking, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as God is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We love a good resurrection story, don't we? We love a good story of someone coming back. I mean, a couple of years ago, some of you might remember, we were talking about the resurrection leading up to Lent. It's usually a good time to talk about the resurrection around that time. And I made the point one Wednesday night that one of the companies in the world that loves resurrection the most is the Disney Corporation, right? And if you remember, I gave some examples. You remember in Frozen, the sister Anna, she dies. She's done. Like last breath, poof, out. But no, she's not. That's right. This act of love brings her back. It's a good resurrection story, right? Or if you're a Rapunzel fan, Flynn Rider, he's dead. He is gone. He has sacrificed himself and he is dead and Rapunzel is crying over him. But by golly, that magic tear brings him back. And here he is again. Beauty and the Beast, if you want to go back a little further, the Beast is dead. He is gone. Last breath taken. But not so fast. Good old Belle comes along, and guess what happens to Beast? He is back. There he is. Bambi's mom. Okay, maybe not that one. Maybe Disney isn't into resurrection as much as I thought. Some of you just gave me a look that communicated, listen, my 10-year-old heart is not over that scene yet. But even not Disney. Take, for instance, like Lord of the Rings, Gandalf, he's gone until the second book, and then he's back again. Harry Potter, he's gone, he's dead, but nope, he comes back. We love a good resurrection story. Just look at the books we read. Just look at the movies we watch. There is a resurrection story all over the place. When we saw this morning in the baptism of Katie Brewer, we saw a great symbol of resurrection. We die, but we rise, right? We die and then we rise. We die a death to ourselves and we rise to life in Jesus. We die and we rise. And as we approach Lent in a week and a half, the lectionary has been serving up for us Paul's great resurrection chapter, if you've been paying attention on Sunday mornings. But all of today's readings echo of resurrection. But let's look at Paul first, you know? In Corinthians, Paul has been talking about the reality of Christ's resurrection. And his verdict, as many of you even said a version of this morning, Christ was crucified, dead, buried, and rose on the third day, just like he said he would. But now, question is asked about the resurrected body. And Paul's verdict this time, he says, you know, there are physical bodies and there are spiritual bodies, but he has a really interesting pathway and language of getting to that point. Hear it again. What you sow does not come to life unless it does what? Dies. Right? And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. It reminds me of that verse in James that many of you know. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and does what? Dies. It remains just a single grain. But if it dies, what happens? It bears much fruit. Like even Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God in seed parables. Have you ever noticed this? Like the sower throwing seed, the mustard seed. Jesus has all of these parables about seeds. And in each of these, there is a theme that the seed has to die for that seed to rise. Sounds a lot like resurrection, doesn't it? Many of you in the next few weeks are going to go out and you're going to plant gardens. Or at least you're going to try to plant gardens. And some of you will be successful. But you're going to take those seeds and those plants. And what are you going to do? You're going to put them down into the dark dirt. You're going to cover it up. You're going to put some nice little water on it. And guess what's going to come out of the ground? Hopefully, some vegetables. And then you can eat them. Some fruit comes from the seed dying so that something can rise up and give us some fruit. And if we're honest, there are plenty of things in our own life that perhaps we ourselves need to put in the ground and let it die. And from that, something else will rise. Things that need to die. And when we get to the passage of Jesus today, he comes in and he speaks to it. Jesus' teachings today, let's be honest, none of us like this teaching, okay? None of us do, right? You can sit there and you can be like, no, I love everything Jesus said. You don't like this verse because you don't want to do it. None of us want to do it. Love your enemies. Okay, how many of you are signing up for that today? Do good to those who hate you. Oh yeah, I'm getting ready to do that today, Will. Going to some people who hate me, gonna love on them. Nobody wants to do that, right? Bless those who curse you. Ooh, yep, gonna do that. Pray for those who abuse you. Don't judge. Jesus, really? Really, Jesus? This is what you have asked your followers to do. But you know, if we are to experience resurrection, if we are to live this resurrection Jesus calls us into of dying and rising, if we are to know what it means to go under and come up different, Jesus is giving us some things to die to today. Like our pride. Bless those who curse you. Like our rightness. Do good to those who hate you. Our prejudices. Don't judge. Our envy for what others have. Our gluttony. Anyone who takes away your coat, don't withhold your shirt. Our own privilege. Do to others as you would have them do to you. I hate these verses. I am not a fan. And really, probably most of us don't. Because death is not something we want to do. We don't want to give up our rightness and our pride and our prejudices. We really just don't want to do it. And yet Jesus says, listen, if you want some life, boy, these are some things to do. If you want to put the seed in and know what resurrection looks like and sounds like, put the seed in and let it die and let some life come up. Jesus further kind of rubs it in. He says, and this is where I think I would, if I was writing the movie and filming the movie, I'd have like my snarky Jesus come on and be like, listen, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you, man? Dude, everybody does that. What good is that? Listen, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Maybe Jesus even slow claps him like, yeah, good job, folks. Doing good to people who like you. Didn't do anything hard today. For even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners. But love your enemies and do good and lend and don't expect anything in return. Your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High. But when we do what Jesus says, we and the world hear echoes of the resurrection, because if the resurrection is that something dies and something else springs up to life, when we bless those who curse us, our pride dies. And that act is life-giving, and there is an echo of life and the resurrection. Do good to those who hate you. When we do that, our rightness dies. And the act is life-giving, and it is an echo of what the resurrection is. Our prejudices, when those die, that act brings life, and there is an echo of the resurrection. When we give to those who are in need, our own gluttony and consumption dies, and that act brings life, and it is an echo of the resurrection. Our privilege due to others as you would have them to do when it dies, that act brings life, and we are people who witness and give witness to the resurrection, because it points to something dying and something else growing up and living. Jesus challenges us to do the hard things, to die, so that we may live. Yes, in eternity, but also here as well. For us to live this resurrection, because life is giving an echo to the resurrection. There's a great story early in the Bible of someone who gets this. It's a guy named Joseph. And if you know Joseph's story, he starts off as really kind of this cocky little rear end of a kid. When I'm teaching my ninth graders, I always portray him as that guy on the sports team who thinks he's awesome and wants to let everyone else No, he's awesome. And it's like, hey, if you would just give me the ball, we would win all the time because I'm awesome. Well, because of this attitude, his brothers, and the Bible minces no words, hate him. And so they beat him up. They throw him in a well. And they decide, you know what we should do with our brother? We should sell him into slavery. And so they do. And Joseph goes off down to a foreign country, is sold into slavery, goes from one house and then goes to prison, and then ends up being the second in command of this powerful nation of Israel. And then there is this great famine. His brothers, you know, the ones who beat him up, put him in the well, sold him into slavery, they come looking for food. And who do they have to deal with but their own brother? Now, Joseph has a choice. He could curse those who curse him. He could hate those who hate him. He could repay what has been given to him. And most of us would say, good for you, Joseph. But he doesn't. As a matter of fact, the story goes through that Joseph puts them through some tests. And in the reading we read today, they gather together. And Joseph puts aside the law that says an eye for an eye. He says, no, we're going to choose some life today. He says, even though, brothers, you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good in order to preserve numerous people as God is doing today. In other words, you meant for that act to be the end of my story. But you know what? Something grew up from that. And God made it rise and brought that to life and is bringing life. Brothers, you meant it to kill me, but God meant it to bring life. Something had to die to bring some life. Something had to die to rise. And every day we get to die to many of our own stories. That story of pride, the story of envy, that story of rightness, of prejudice, of consumption, the list could go on. But we can choose to rise and bring life and light into this world and be an echo of the resurrection, pointing to the ultimate giver of life. So may we as people and as a church be an echo of that resurrection. May we die so that we may rise and bear much fruit and be an echo of Christ's resurrection. Amen. Spirit of God, who moved over the waters at the dawn of creation, hears the prayers of all who are yearning for resurrection today. So let us join in that tradition, first with a time of silence, followed by the pastoral prayer. Let us pray.
Christ, we pray for those who are spiritually thirsty for resurrection, who long to know your presence but don't know where to find you. And we pray for those who are alone and without hope, those who long to feel needed and loved, and those who are searching for meaning and purpose. Gracious God, we pray for all those who are physically thirsty and those who are in need, who don't have enough water to drink or food to feed their animals, whose fields are parched, whose crops are withered, those who have to walk long distances just to find water to survive or food to eat. We pray for those whose homes and villages are torn apart because of drought or famine or war. God, we pray for those who are thirsty for justice and long to see resurrection in their communities, who long for people to have what they need. And we lift up those who put their lives at risk to protect the least of these. We pray for those who are working to end things like human trafficking or provide affordable housing, for those who are working to feed the hungry, to find clean water, to witness to other people. We pray for field personnel shining your light in the world. And give them strength for their calling. God, we ask that you would open our hearts to the needs of all those who thirst around us. And give us the courage to love our enemies, to bless those who do not agree with us. God, may we work for justice. May we stand alongside those who are thirsty, alongside those who are hungry, so that all people everywhere may live without want or fear and may discover the abundant life that you promised to each one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of our living, we pray as you taught your followers to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our gifts out of gratefulness for all that we have received. Let us give generously that others may know the blessings of faith, hope, and love. Thank you. you find the gifts we bring acceptable and useful to bring blessings to a world filled with needs. Bless these contributions to bring hope to the hopeless, encouragement to those in despair, peace to those who are struggling, and promote the good news everywhere. Hear our prayers, gracious Lord. Amen.
The invitation to Christian discipleship is open now for any who want to follow Jesus, or if you want to join this church, this worshiping community that is open now, or if you just want to come and pray at the kneelers, you can do that as well as we sing this hymn together. Be seated. Just a few announcements before we go. One, thanks Will Barnes for being our liturgist today. When I invited Will to do this today, I said, Will, it's a baptism Sunday, which means it's you until midway through. It's just all you. And he was like, all right, let's go. So thank you, Will, for doing that. Today we had some guests from South Carolina, from Florida, from New York City as well, from Alabama, and some folks from Mississippi as well who came into town. My parents came into town to see someone get baptized. And so it is great to have you all here and hope this was a wonderful experience for you this morning. Two announcements. One, remember, next Sunday is our last Sunday with Cal Ballantyne. It is going to be his final Sunday with us. He will be going to North Carolina. As a matter of fact, he's got to like play church the next Sunday. And so he's on the job the very next Sunday. So next week will be his last Sunday with us. I told him, Kyle, you gotta bring it next Sunday and pull out all the stops, as they say, correct? And play some awesome stuff next week. We'll also have a reception for him after church. And so be ready to be there for that and say some final words to Kyle. This next Wednesday is our last Wednesday with the good Dr. Rob Kilgore. He has been doing a fantastic job telling us, working through some themes, religious themes, and different poetry, and it's been awesome. And this is our last week with him. And then, can you believe it, the next week is Ash Wednesday and we start Lent. It seems early this year, but there we go. There we go. I think that's it. I think that's everything for today. So if you could, hear this benediction and then the choral response by the choir. Go with blessings. As followers of Jesus, we will love our enemies and do good to those who hate us. Go with God's blessings. As followers of Jesus, we will bless those who curse us and pray for those who persecute us. Go with God's blessings. As followers of Jesus, we will do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So go with God's blessings. Amen.
You've been listening to a worship service of First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia. We would love for you to join us in person on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. in our sanctuary on Chippewa Square. For more information about First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, visit us online at fbc-sav.org. At First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, all are welcome.